Good evening, everybody. Michelle Schneider, can you lead us in the pledge?
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Director Leo Hordick is not here tonight. All the other directors are present. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion carries. The agenda is approved. Public comments. It'll be 3 minutes, okay?
Hi, my name is Josh Wolf. I grew up in Redwood. By the time I went off to college, I moved away to San Francisco, and I am kind of finding myself being pushed out of San Francisco and turning to my hometown where my mom still lives and looking to spend more time here. And simultaneously, as that's happening, I'm seeing some interesting things happening with the CSD, so that's why I'm out here today. I know that the actual fee schedule is part of the later agenda item, and I'll be speaking later about that issue, but at this point in time, I want to actually suggest that we take, and I spoke about this last week for those that were here, that we take a different approach and try to figure out how to come up with that $15,000 rental fee. Obviously, the town needs about $15,000 to cover the cost of its facilities, and as I understand it, whatever fees have to have a nexus to the cost absorbed by them. So those have presumably been the cost that you guys have determined it is. But it doesn't mean that we actually have to charge those rates for each group that uses it. And some of the community organizations have more money to offer services, and others have less. And I know that had I not been able to participate in the Snow White Players as a child for free, I might not have been able to participate. And as we raise these rates and they impact the individual organizations using these facilities, it may cut people out. So I think we should have some sort of a fundraiser, raise that $15,000, and then really decrease that cost to be the absolute minimum to just do the administration of putting it down on the books as the calendar and making sure that all of our organizations are able to adequately share the space. So that's my proposal, is that we have a fundraiser to come up with that $15,000 as opposed to hitting each of the individual organizations with a fee that could jeopardize their survival. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I've been Josh's mom, known as Josh's mom for a long time, so here I am again as Josh's mom. I have 168 signatures that were gathered at the last three farmers markets. And I could have gathered more than
I'm thinking. Sorry, Liz, could you actually state your name? I don't think you did.
Liz Wolfside.
Okay, thank you. Just so it gets on the recording.
Yes. Okay. And I'm giving you these. These are signatures of people who said, this is what it says, the Redwood Certified Farmers Market is a community-driven nonprofit organization committed to building the health and economy of our local village. The farmers market provides a weekly oasis for meeting neighbors and offers nourishment to the community by creating a space for local farmers and other artisans to share locally grown and locally produced goods. By signing below, I stand in support of my community and the Redwood Farmers Market. I believe it is essential to securing our local food system and is an economic benefit to our entire community. I will work to maintain its survival. The other point I wanted to bring up is I noticed when I looked at the budget in the packet, according to the budget, we have $106,000 as a reserve at the end of 2019. And if that is correct, I would like to propose that that money go toward covering the cost of the repair of the building, as opposed to being the cost of the repairs being pushed onto the organizations using it, and that the organizations using it just pay for the ongoing maintenance and the things they're using, the electricity, the utilities, cleaning supplies, everything like that. So, because I think when I was involved with the school district, the mandated state reserve that is required from the school district, which is also a public entity, is 3%. If you have 100,000, you're talking about almost 25%. So that's a lot of reserve. So here's Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Nancy Martinez, and I am a resident. I usually don't come to the Tuesday meetings because I have soccer practice for my child down the hill. Anyway, I want to come back to some months ago I had proposed some contractual services and finding ways for us to have a revenue for CSD. I know that it's not going to happen overnight. It may not even happen this year, but I feel that any kind of special event requires planning in advance. I don't know what the job descriptions are of those that are paid through CSD, but I think that it would be something that I would like them to look into. I did write down because I tend to drift off. Some ideas and special events. Like I said, it's not going to bring a lot of money immediately, but I think it would build a good relationship with our community, and it would offer things such as like a pumpkin carving workshop. That sounds silly, but my background and my passion is with families and children because I have them, and that's what I love to do. So even if it was a small fee and you had them, you could look. I mean, there's so many grocery stores that would donate a pumpkin. You charge a small fee. They come in here, the parents and the child. They walk off with their little pumpkin decorated, and it's a small amount of money that went back to CSD. It's not a lot, but it is something that you can offer. I also I wanted to know about National Night Out, and I know a lot of bigger cities have it. I don't know if we have it in our town or if it's even something that we can do, but that's something that I thought would be great.
What is that?
National Night Out is usually when law enforcement comes out. They just it's like a like an awareness. It's a how do I explain it?
Is there anything like neighborhood watch?
Yeah, like a neighborhood watch. Yeah, like a community type thing where we know where our resource, who's here, if we have any issues. But it gives people a time to just. It's a special event. I don't know what you can do with money, but I don't know if we have a budget for a Costco run and you have a small little thing set up. I don't know. I'm just thinking you might be able to raise money with little things like that. Or if there's a local vendor here who likes to set up there, they can you can charge them a small fee for that. I also have a list, and I'm going to give it to I don't know who, but I go back to the contractual classes, the 70-30 split, where CSD gets 70% of whatever's offered. I speak Spanish. Say I wanted to be a Spanish instructor, and I don't want them at my house. But if I came here, you guys have the tables and the chairs. You guys take registration. You charge whatever the fee is, let's just say I set up $45, you get 70% of that and I get 30. Why? Because you're covering the building and the insurance, whatever it is to be in this facility. I did print out a sample of different proposals, like class proposals. I don't want to step on the vendors that are, or the businesses that are in Brightwood, but it is something that is possible if we utilize our building to the maximum, you know. I thought about the senior health fair. Do we even have that here? Like a flu shot? You know, they have it in Phelan. I know that we can have it here. Some of those businesses like Molina, those senior, they will pay to set up a table here. You can charge them, and that will be a small amount that will go back to CSD. Anyway, I have things from Family Night Out, Give to Santa,
I'm sorry, that's time.
I'm sorry?
That's time.
Okay, so anyway, who do I turn that into?
To me, please. To Alan.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you.
I don't know. I can
work. Any other public comments? All right. Let's.
Wait.
Sorry.
Hi, my name is Alex Peterson. I'm just understanding that the parking lot. My understanding is that the proposal to charge the farmers market a fee for both the parking lot and the community center is no longer on the table, and that you're now willing to rent them just the parking lot. I also understand that the rental of the parking lot would be not only the rental fee for the farmer's market, but also an additional $5 per canopy fee. Many vendors use 2 or 3 canopies. So although the parking lot rental fee of $72 for 5 hours is incredibly reasonable, the additional fees of $5 to $15 per vendor really puts it out of the reach of the farmer's market. They can't really push those fees onto the vendors. The vendors don't really make enough money to cover another $15 or $20 per night. So I would like to reconsider the canopy fees in addition to the rental of the parking lot so that we can keep the farmer's market.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alice.
Anybody else? All right, let's move on to agency reports.
Good evening, I'm Sergeant Robert Bacari. I'm Sergeant Robert Bacari with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Last month in the community of Wrightwood, we had 141 calls for service, and there were a total of 9 reports taken. Of those calls for service, the highest were 27 for warrant services, which Deputy Kobe Fox is going to speak to in a moment. There were 20 calls for service for extra patrol, 16 home checks, and 12 459 audibles with a total of 3 arrests made. And in the community of West Cone Valley, there were a total of 32 calls for service with 3 DRs or 3 reports taken. There were 6 follow-ups, 3 traffic stops, and 3 well checks were the highest calls for service. Over the weekend, this past Saturday, we had a prescription drug take-back in Phelan. I don't know if you were aware of it, but we had a total of 21 pounds of prescription drugs that were brought back to the station and
wow.
Turned back over to the DEA. So that was very successful. I didn't think it'd be 21 pounds.
That's a lot of pills.
That is a lot of pills. 21 pounds is a lot of pills. When I brought the bag from our station, there was about 5 pounds, and it's a considerable amount. 21 pounds is like a trash can full of drugs, prescription drugs. But we had a community. We were up here in Wrightwood earlier in the month doing a proactive probation and warrant compliance check, and Deputy Kobe Fox is going to speak with you about what they did and the results.
Okay.
Any questions for me?
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Deputy Kobe Fox. I'm with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. On Thursday, April 12th, 2018, deputies from the Rift Valley Sheriff Station, along with officers from the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, conducted a proactive patrol operation in Wrightwood. The goal of the operation was to attempt to locate and arrest several subjects with outstanding warrants, as well as contacting subjects on probation at their homes and ensuring they are in compliance with the terms and conditions of the probation. I have organized a proactive patrol operation. Operation consists of 4 teams, which consisted of 2 deputies, a detective, and a probation officer. Each team had approximately 20 targets, which include probation checks, 290 compliance checks, as well as arrest warrants to serve. During the course of the operation, 3 subjects were arrested for outstanding misdemeanor and or felony warrants, and 1 subject was arrested for violation of probation. This operation is a part of the Sheriff's Department ongoing efforts to ensure safety in the communities it serves. Typical operations of this type are planned in the future in other communities served by the Victor Valley Sheriff's Station. Any questions?
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Great.
Thank you.
I'm very happy.
Hi, good evening. Hi, Carl Higley, Captain, San Bernardino County Fire Department, Station 14, Wrightwood. So statistically, I'm not a good speaker, so you have to kind of put up with me. 1 working structure fire this month. We caught it at the kitchen, held it, did not get into the house any deeper than that, so early morning from the people who lived in the house made all the difference. We had two other fires. Those predominantly are outdoor fires, not brush fires, but just illegal burning and so on and so forth. One investigation, 27 medical. We had 32 public services. We had one traffic collision with extrication. That's actually two as of Friday night. In the Pinyon Hills area, we had three vehicle fires, two alarm investigations, 44 medical. We had 34 public services, one rescue, two traffic collisions, and so a fairly busy month. Mostly successful, not always, but mostly. I want to bring to everybody's attention that on May 12th is the Wrightwood Disaster and Wildfire Day. With that, the Forest Service, CAL FIRE, San Bernardino County, as well as the other agencies, CERT, and other people will be out there with brochures and ways that people can get involved in the community. Also be stuff for the kids to do. I know traditionally we're going to have our patrol set up there so kids can squirt water. Kind of encourage them maybe to look at the fire service as a career. But it should be a fun day. Any questions at all? Get out and stay out.
No, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Hi, Susan.
Good evening. Susan Drake from the Office of County Supervisor Lovingood. Supervisor Lovingood wanted me to let everyone know that he has been in communication with Southern California Edison about the power outages and the frailty of some of the systems up here in Wrightwood. And I talked to Jennifer at Southern California Edison today, and they apparently have a plan for upgrading a lot of your infrastructure. So I asked her to come up and speak with the community, and she agreed to come up next month before your CSC meeting. So we'll be publicizing that so people can come and ask questions, so they know in advance what to expect. But I think it's really good news, but I want her to tell and be able to answer those questions. Also, I just want to remind everyone, if you have any issues outside the purview of the CSC, please call our office. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Susan. Okay. Next item is consent calendar. There is one item. I guess there's a typo on the regular board meeting minutes.
In the special meeting.
For the special meeting. Yeah, where it says at the top, board members present. The word present needs to be crossed out. Otherwise, everything else is okay. And can we accept it like that, Steve? With that provision?
With the word present crossed out?
Yeah.
Those board members weren't present?
No.
If you look down the list, you got roll call, Natalie was missing.
Right. So it should just say board members. And not board members present.
On April 24th, yeah. Okay. Board minutes.
Yes, that's just an easy fix.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, can I have a motion to accept the consent calendar? That's the April regular board meeting minutes, special budget workshop minutes, and the April disbursements.
So moved. All second.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed, motion carries. Item 7, General Manager Report.
Thank you, Board. Anyway, our new employee, Mark Billsonor, he's doing a fabulous job in the park, and that's where his primary is, and he's learning the rest of the scope as well. He's been with us for 2 weeks now, and if you look at the park, it's really coming together. Also wanted to mention that Michelle and I are working on the dump carts, and that we're in the process of getting those together so we can have those out by early June, and a available to have them implemented on July 1st. I do want to thank the farmers markets and the chamber for meeting with me. Within those meetings, we had some really good discussions and very proactive thoughts and shared, and I think we're all on the same page now. I also wanted to add that tonight I put on to the Wrightwood CSD Facebook a link to the Academy for Grassroots Organizations. They're holding an event on May 9th in Vickerville, and that link will give you the address and everything else. That deals with nonprofit interest. And since it's a very hot topic here locally, I thought that would be a good thing for those nonprofits who may have questions or seeking insurance or whatever to deal with, because there's going to be a lot of insurance companies represented at this meeting. And that's my report.
Any okay, questions? Thank you, Al. Anybody got any questions? Chuck?
Okay. Oh, well, on the Mountaineer Days, Al, did you get into, you know, detailed discussions with the chamber, or was that just an initial meeting with them?
We got into some detailed discussions, and we will get back to you.
On that one, my concern was the bathrooms and porta potties and all that type of stuff. Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you, Al. Item 8, budget review, discussion, possible action. So we had our special meeting, went over the budget. Does anybody have any questions or anything about the budget?
Yeah, for the 2018-2019 budget, we need to add a line for Parks and Rec. We have an adult league coming up, and based on the proposal, we're looking at anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 there that could be revenue coming in. And for future stuff with Nancy and whatever.
So you want that?
I just
want
a line.
You want that on the income side?
On the income side, yes.
Well, do we need it for covering the yoga classes currently being offered on the expense side as well?
Yeah, that's the other portion, the expense side. And right now, I talked to Al a little bit. I'm not really sure where we're putting that on the expense side, but we need to break it down when we meet with Cecilia. That was one of the other things. You know, there's line items that need to be added or broken out from wherever.
Yeah, you're right.
And because there are expenses on Parks and Rec, and there will be revenue on Parks and Rec that we need to at least identify where it is.
Okay, all right. So you want to break out that revenue, and you want a direct expense against that?
Against Parks and Rec, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Because hopefully there'll be other programs besides the soccer league and softball league. So.
Okay. But are we adding that on? Are we adding that into the budget? Are we adding those amounts into this budget? Because I think we're being asked if we want to accept this budget.
Well, where does the money for the yoga class currently come from? What line item is that? It was in our monthly disbursements this month.
Right.
So well, what's it pulling from?
Well, good question. Basically, I've put it into the contingency at the moment because it's such a small amount. But as Chuck and I have discussed, in the near future, we'll start breaking this stuff out more. I agree that we need to really show it more thorough. And this budget process, I was basically told to kind of align it with our current budget so our future budget could run parallel.
Right.
And we know Wes really likes miscellaneous stuff.
And we made the adjustments that the board suggested from the 24th meeting.
Right.
Yeah, we're all done.
Okay.
Well, what's our deadline for having the budget approved?
I think the intent is that if with direction from the board tonight, then we would notice up a public hearing for your meeting in June, and then that's when it would be adopted.
Okay.
Right here.
Don't.
Can you move the microphone closer and say that again?
be adopted in June, your regular meeting in June.
Do we have to publicize it?
Yes.
2 weeks before the
right.
June?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah, so we would take a motion tonight to do that on this budget? No.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I think the intent was with the special meeting last week and then the regular meeting tonight for the board to give direction to staff, and then we would notice up for a public hearing and bring back
okay.
The final budget for the board the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question, Wes. How long are we gonna wait on the transfer from CSA 56 of the 60,000 when we think it's
until they say absolutely 30. No?
Okay. And will that be before the June 1 one, or because that affects our reserve? Is all I'm asking.
Yeah. Until I'm unwilling to until they tell me just no, get out of here. You know?
Same thing with the election then, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we just have to go after it.
Because I know somebody in the audience, I think it was Liz, mentioned the 106,000 that we're projecting as a general reserve.
Yeah.
But that's based on us making the 16,000 this year. And
that's right.
That's still a question in my mind whether we're actually going to hit that
right
that level.
So. Right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Any other questions, or should we have the staff get this thing going so we get it noticed?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay, is there any changes that you want to see?
Or? Just add that line item for Parks and Rec on both the expense side and on the revenue side. But that's it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Do we need to do a resolution or a motion or anything?
No.
No, you don't need to do anything of that nature tonight, though.
Okay.
At your meeting in June, in addition to the budget, there will also be appropriations on it that will be adjusted. And that will require a resolution.
Okay, thank you. Item 9, facility application discussion and possible action.
If I can have a moment?
Yes, please.
Just want to kind of give a quick update. Last board meeting, I was given direction to put together a page. I'm trying to get to that page now. But they all stick together. Anyway, a request for facility rate variance. And so I created that's the last page in this section. I also want to mention that on the front page for the parking lot, we made an adjustment that we suggest that for events that are 5 hours or less than 5 hours, that the rate be $3 per vendor, and that anything over 5 hours, that it be $5 per vendor.
Al, can I clarify that you say per vendor? So, like Alex mentioned, is that Alex mentioned at the farmer's market, some of those vendors may have 3 spaces, so they would still pay the same rate as somebody that has 1 space.
Right.
Per vendor. Okay, thank you.
Not for canopy.
Not for canopy, your per space.
Do you have more?
No, that's it.
Well, I would like to throw out something in the sense of, obviously, the last couple of meetings we've had discussions on, can you hear me or not?
Okay. Yeah, I can.
Thank you. We've had discussions about the rate increase and the whole bit, and we voted on increasing the rates to the $16 and $13, and I was part of that vote, but that was... From my point of view, that was based on the fact that everybody was paying the same rate, the old county CSA 56 rates, which after the fact found out that very few people were actually paying that rate. And yet some people, I know the lady with the quilt organization had mentioned that they were paying full boat.
So by raising, by just sticking to what they should have been paying, that's a rate increase in itself. The other side, on the parking lot, we never charge for any of that, and we're charging $16 an hour and also a vendor rate. And for me, that's almost double billing. So part of what I would like the council to consider is keeping the rates, at least for this year, at the CSA 56 level, but making everybody required to pay at the same level.
What does that mean? What does that mean then? Okay.
The $13 and what was it for the firehouse?
But I'll say this, that's well below like anyone in the area. Like it's well below anybody.
Right.
Right? It's below Hesperia, Hellendale.
That is true.
Thielen, Pinion Hills, CSD.
Right.
And Chino, Rancho.
Those people have millions in their revenue stream, their budgets. Thielen, Pinion Hills has a $6 million budget that, yes, they have water.
They also have a water system.
Yeah, of course they do. So that type of thing. But also, if you look at our actuals, right now facility rental has brought in the $12,000. We anticipate the next 2 months it'll bump it up to the $15,000.
Right.
And that's with the old rates, and it's also with all the discounts. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we haven't charged anybody the new $16 an hour rate.
That's correct.
So it's not like, we went from some people zero up to $16. We know the farmer's market was at $25. For everything, not an hour or anything like that, but we've not only increased it. See, if you increase it to what it should have been, the CSA 56, you're still getting an increase. Now, as we go along, and we have 2 months left, that we don't know what the reality is.
There was some people that got a decrease, though, Chuck.
Yes, there was.
Okay.
Yes, there was that.
Well, so that's not
but
really.
But it's also in our budget. So
what are you suggesting for the parking lot?
I'm suggesting the hourly rate for the parking lot.
So you are suggesting a change in the parking lot rate?
Yes.
Okay.
But we already voted
on
that.
But not the $5 per.
Per vendor.
Canopy, whatever. Okay. Because, I mean, think about it. It's like almost a double billing. Now, if we're in the process where we're not covering our maintenance, but based on this year's budget with the actuals, we're covering it with what we're getting off of the old rates with people getting discounts. So it's just, my point of view, I'd like us to consider it. And, yes, I did vote for raising it to 16, but when I made that vote, it seemed like it was just a $2.50 increase. And yet, we have people here that were paying zero or paying very little. So that was a major, major increase for some of those people. If we hold to the standard that they pay their standard rate that was the CSA 56 at 13 bucks and 10 bucks, we're not losing any of the 15,000. We're not losing the maintenance. Now, I totally understand we've got an emergency exit that needs to be repaired, that stairs that are on that side. But that's also, I think, we put in the budget for the maintenance, areas type of thing. So I'm just throwing it out there right now. And I just think that we hit them real hard when, from my point of view, we thought they were already paying and it wasn't that big of an increase.
I just want to say I agree with you, Chuck. It's been on my mind as well, and it's an idea that I've had, and I'm with you on what you just said, Neil.
So what are you proposing, that we lower it back down to $13.50 the way it was?
I think we should keep it the way that it was. And
$13.50 and then?
And add the hourly rate, that $13.50 for the parking lot.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. Are you basically proposing that we stick to the current rate structure completely and that we implement the current rate? You're shaking your head no.
No. Oh, sorry.
The $13.50 is the base of the current rate structure. Are you proposing that we stick to that current rate structure which has a lot of other levels.
Right.
Give you an example. The rental of that parking lot is in the current rate structure at $35 an hour. Do we implement that?
No, I didn't see that.
Do we implement that?
No.
Do we implement the 75 cents per chair?
No. I think we need to go through the rental agreement.
Well, it's right here in front of us.
It's part of the current rate structure.
Are you talking this current rate or the CSA 56?
The current rate that we have right now that we have not implemented anything.
Excuse me. Chuck is referring to, he's calling it the CSA 56. You're calling it the current rate.
The CSA 56 rate structure
right.
has that stuff in it. That I just mentioned.
So 35.
I don't think he meant that at all, Al. I think what he meant was, is that him and Natalie are saying, look, instead of $16 an hour, I'd like to go back to $13.50
right. and 10.
For the parking lot and for the community building, if I get this right.
Right.
And but do you want to adjust the kitchen? Because I got lowered.
Right.
So I have a couple questions. What does that do then to someone, to this form? If what we're doing is we're equalizing, it sounds like what we're doing instead of raising, the math adds up that way, is equalize it so that
right.
people that weren't paying come up to the regular rate, then that seems like it makes this idea null and void.
Well,
is that accurate?
I don't think so, because I think that there are some organizations that need this. I'm thinking the Snowline Players here, what's coming out is $4,544 difference for them annually. And to me, this is absolutely necessary for them to be able to continue.
The Snowline Players would ask for an exception to be put under the umbrella of Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Because that's what they've done for decades, is that they are our only Parks and Rec that we've ever really had. And that was the justification for however that agreement was set up. And I don't know if it's in writing or not.
Probably not.
But the justification was it is Parks and Rec.
Right, and I've asked for it in writing from the line players who have yet to receive it.
Okay. But it seems like if the reasoning of this is the math behind what hasn't been collected, that we're going to start collecting that, well, then the conversation of making exceptions for organizations, I think, becomes a moot point, because then we're not collecting more. We're potentially setting up to have special circumstances for lots of different groups.
And what is the criteria? I mean, should we, when they do their scheduling, hand those out to everybody? Doesn't
right.
everybody deserve a break if you're giving it to some?
Well, the whole reason why we're trying to standardize.
Yeah, we wanted to standardize it. So
that's
that,
right.
You know, I don't think it's fair for the lady that came to our budget meeting on the 24th,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you couldn't be
here,
but, you know, I think it was the Quilt Guild or whatever.
Yeah,
but they're paying full boat. Why should they pay full boat and, you know, a bunch of other organizations get to do it for free or at a discounted rate?
Right.
To me, that doesn't seem fair either.
Okay.
No,
so let's just go through it here. Just go through it, okay? Because what you're saying is, are there any other changes you want? You don't like the 16. You'd rather have that be $13.50 like it was.
Right.
Is there anything else?
I think that the parking lot should be the hourly rate.
You don't want to charge per vendor?
No.
Okay, at all?
No, I think if they're paying for the parking lot an hourly rate, to me, charging for the slots is almost like double billing. They've already paid for the parking lot at the $13.50, and if it's a 5 hours or if it's
okay.
not near days with
okay, I'll just point out that what you advocate is non-standard.
Okay.
I'll just point that out. But
right.
I mean, that's okay if that's what you want.
And we're a CSD that is, you know, 10 months old, that our standards and what we've gone through is being formulated right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
I don't know if we can go against Hellendale and Pinyon Hills and Hesperia and that have been doing it for, you know, quite a few years where we're at 10 months right now. That's all.
Right. Okay. Is there any other? Natalie, what's your opinion?
I mean, I don't know if this is being done, but I feel like with every organization, there's some, I don't know that everyone completely understands what they're going to pay. Am I wrong about that?
No.
Okay, so I just feel that to some of these
How could they not know what they're going to pay?
Well, maybe they haven't come to the CSD meeting, or maybe they haven't had any outreach, or I'm just...
It's been all over Facebook. I mean, it's been everywhere. I don't know. It's been in the paper. I don't know. They could come and ask Al. I mean, they have they have a responsibility, I would say, to come and find out. I'm not going to feel sorry for them if they don't know how much they're going to pay. It's pretty simple. It's by the hour. How many hours are you going to be here? How can they not know? I mean, the kitchen is really basic. We lowered it. It's the kitchen's far less complicated at this rate structure.
I'm thinking of the Snowline Players. Have they had any? They haven't had any communication about this and how this is going to affect them. And to me,
sure,
to the Snowline Players, this is significant.
Natalie, they were at the meeting.
Yeah, I understand, but I mean, me personally, I don't know how many hours are they here. I mean, from what I hear, even Alex standing up tonight saying, you know, it's $5 a space, and you know, it just sounds to me like there's so many questions that are unanswered that I don't even know the answer to. And to me, it's like I'm feeling uncomfortable because I don't know the impact that it's having on each person individually.
Well, I feel
you know,
like
there's been so much upset this last month, if not 2 months, from so many people in town. I see it on social media. I hear it at the grocery store.
But I will point out that through the paper and through Facebook, there's been a lot of misinformation. A lot of mistakes have been made. And that is part of it, okay? When the Lions Club says something like they're going to go to $8,000 or whatever they were saying, when really it's $3.17 a month, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that are exaggerating, you know, from this thing going, you know, because you're both removing the discount and you're going up $2.50.
Yeah.
So I understand, but what do you want to do? I think
feel like maybe there should have been better like outreach to people individually to discuss what works for them and what doesn't work for them.
Yeah, but it has to be a standard rate. So if it has to be the same for everybody. So that's in front of us right now. What is the standard rate going to be? Not what it's going to be for each individual person, not what the county did, and that making a special deal for everybody and everything's a one-off. That's what's in front of us right now is a standardization. And you know, okay, so you don't think that $16 is fair, so it's going to be $13.50, okay, but I'm hearing more beyond that. Well, I don't know that there is any more beyond that. I mean, it costs so much an hour to run the facility.
Right.
That's what we're doing. So I think if we want a spreadsheet to see what people are paying now and what and we've already done all that.
Yeah,
many
I mean
times.
I'm looking at that here. It's just right. You know, to some people it looks significant, and it concerns me that they won't be able to continue operating here.
But it looks significant because they were so subsidized.
Yeah, I
because
understand.
It, you know, like the farmer's market, 25 as an example, because they're the biggest one. You know, it's $25 flat fee, and you know, I mean that's just not fair to any of the other renters. I mean, the Quilt Guild can't pay, you know, $100 or whatever they're paying, and the farmer's market paid $25.
Yeah, I understand.
We can't have that.
I've been on both sides of this.
Yeah.
I've really been struggling with this decision. But I just feel that if,
yeah.
Like, kind of touching on what Chuck had said, that if we, you know, it's been operating this way so far and it's been okay and we've been able to cover ourselves, then why are we making this, you know, our focus right now, you know, pushing people out? I feel like, you know, the CSD was formed because people really wanted, you know, us to represent the community and stand up and, you know, I guess make things better. And what I've been feeling is that it's, you know, it's become so controversial. And
well, change,
you know,
change does
it's something,
cause that.
Yeah, and it's something, but it's something, you know, that I feel that maybe we could cover in the future a different way, like find out more creative ways to make.
Well, we're trying to do this right now, so what should we do now?
My recommendation is to do the $13.50 an hour the for the parking lot, for the community building, $10 for the fire, firehouse, is that what we call it? Yeah.
So that's the old rate.
The old rates plus the added rate of 16 or $13.50 an hour for the parking lot with no canopy fees. I think the rest of the stuff, the kitchen fees, I'd like to see at this level.
What we have
security
here.
And cleaning deposits and that type of stuff is mm-hmm. what's on here. Yes.
Okay.
I just want to make a correction. The firehouse was $13.50. We dropped it down to $13.
Okay.
It was $13.50. It was never canceled.
Right.
Well, what I'm coming from is simply these were the rates, whether they were used or not. That was the county's decision, and for a lot of them there were major discounts. But the county had a lot of other areas to pull money from that we don't. And you know they didn't. Well, they didn't because they didn't fix a lot of the stuff either.
Right.
So and we took it as is, and that was part of our election and what the people of this town wanted. Was the local CSD. Well, this is the good news, bad news about it. You know, you get maybe a little bit more opportunity to communicate or whatever, but it's still, you know, we're responsible for the tax dollars.
Okay, but what is fair to everybody.
Correct.
Okay, that means everybody has to have the same rate, and that's just the way it is. But, so we're only talking about the rate. So if you want to go to $13.50, go back to $13.50 for the regular rate, not do the per vendor. Okay, is that what we want to do?
For me, yes.
Natalie, you don't want to do that? I mean, what do you want to do?
I don't know. I want to say to visit it after we've been
we can't, for a year. We've done this a whole bunch. We can't have a separate rate for everybody. That's what was in, you know, it's not legal. Okay? It's not even legal. We can't go, hey, the Lions Club gets a 70% discount. These other guys got to pay full pop. Oh, by the way, we'll charge these other guys even more, which we were doing.
Yeah.
Which the county was doing.
I'm just thinking of people who don't make any money at all. Where are they going to come up with the money?
They are responsible for their organization raising that money. There's, you know, I don't want to get into all their business on how they do that, but these rates are incredibly reasonable.
I agree that
they are just so good.
I'm just thinking of the person that's starting from nothing.
But again, the rates are incredibly reasonable. They are. You know, for this whole community building, the kitchen, the parking lot, I mean, they got to figure out a way to make that work. And I think they can at these rates. We could keep going down and down and down and down, but then we're just slumlords.
No, we need revenue to maintain the buildings, that type of thing. We have employee hourly rates that hit us. It's not just the maintenance of it. We have a bunch of chairs that have to be replaced. That's capital. You know, there's certain things that we have to cover, but the idea that, as Wes said earlier, the idea that somebody can get it for free, somebody pays full boat, just doesn't seem right. And that's why I would prefer to cut out the additional raise, because we're raising anyway with going with 56. So there is a rate increase.
You keep saying 56. You mean going?
Well,
you mean,
yeah, the
county rate.
The county rate, yeah.
In other words, removing the discounts that were arbitrarily handed out.
Right. That in itself is going to do a rate increase per se. And if that puts people where they've got to find other locations to do, I would hate to see that. But, you know, that's something that maybe you have a fundraising for some of those organizations so that they can pay that. But this individual stuff of, I like you, you're going to get a rate increase.
No,
but you got to pay full boat. That's not right.
I don't really think it's an I like you or I don't like you. I think it's
I understand your situation.
It pretty much was with the county. It looked completely arbitrary to me.
Well, I think with respect to that issue, I think the intent of the variance form was to create a more or less an objective standard where the board can make a determination or even staff can make a determination that there was benefit conferred in relation to a discounted rate. And so that was, I think, the intent of that form. And so variances are permitted. I mean, in a perfect world, you would want exactly the same rate where there would be no discrepancy or preferential rate from one entity to another, in a perfect world. But the law does recognize that there will be times when there are variances. Variances are granted in various different types of contexts by public agencies. I think that was the intent of the variance form. Certainly within the discretion of the board to decide not to have a variance form and to have a flat rate for everyone, and that's an easy fix. But from a legal perspective, you are permitted to have different rates as long as the board makes a determination that you're not creating a gift of public funds situation by granting one rate to one entity versus another rate to another one.
And I would argue that every organization feels that they have a major benefit to the community. You know,
yeah, I don't know how that works, Steve. That, if every single, you know, I mean, that just seems like completely. Wait one second. I'm sorry, Alex. Wait 1 second. I'm sorry. So I don't really understand that the difference between just saying you get this rate and you get that rate versus an official form of variance. I know. I mean, it doesn't sound very objective to me.
Well, the intent of the form was to allow the board to make a determination based upon facts that are presented in that particular situation.
Such as maybe they can't afford it.
No, that would not be a ground.
Okay.
That they can't afford it. So it would be based upon the benefit conferred to the community by virtue of that organization. If it was a purely private organization that wasn't providing any benefit to the community, then it would be difficult for the board to make a determination that they should pay a lower rate. But if it was an entity that the board felt that was there was a certain nexus between the services that that organization was providing and the services for which the district has been formed, then there would be an ability for the board to make that determination that, based upon that, that there is a unique set of circumstances that allows for a variance to occur. And that occurs in a number of different contexts throughout of public agencies. And that was the point of it. Now, whether the board wants to, again, in a perfect world, you would not have to go there. It would just be a flat rate based upon the cost to maintain the facilities. And that would be an easy way to handle it. And okay. If that's where the board wants to go from a policy perspective, that's fine. That's completely within your discretion. What I want to convey is that it's not illegal to have a variance. That is appropriate as long as there is a set of objective facts that support it.
Steve, what about if it's not about the group, but our variance was set up around sponsoring certain events? Whether that is a regular monthly meeting of a group or whether it's a one-time, you know, event cert has something, it seems like it is going to be very murky for us to try to grant overall discounts to certain groups and not others for the exact reason you mentioned. When we looked at that first spreadsheet of how it was going to impact the group, every single group was a worthy, like, wonderful group to have in our community. So it's going to be very difficult to weigh that. But there might be certain events where it's appropriate for the CSD to sponsor it, and that sponsorship would then include kind of along the lines of what Nancy said, that 70-30 or 30-70 split where we're providing the building and the facility use.
Right.
and they're putting on the event,
yes.
and maybe the CSD gets a little, you know, positive publicity from it,
yes.
we're able to create ties. Would that be a cleaner way
that,
to approach this?
Everything you just described is fits perfectly within the exclusion of the constitutional prohibition against gift of public funds. So I completely agree with everything you just said. That would be, the board would be well within its discretion to make that determination, for sure.
So it seems to me like maybe the approach we need to take is to standardize these rates.
Okay.
Whether or not we go up or stay the same or go down or whatever, but if we can agree that we need to standardize the rate, that exceptions can be made using some variation of this form. I would like to see added on this form a deadline so that, I mean, we meet once a month, right? So if somebody's going to ask for a special exception, and maybe it's on here and I just haven't.
But I think they could ask for that any time, though, right?
They can ask for it, but they have to understand we meet once a month and we're not having special emergency meetings to approve
well,
it,
we, well,
to
we just,
approve that,
we
right?
just tell them that.
So there needs to be, like, a month and a half or 2 month lead time or something like that for any special request made.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can agree that standardizing rates is, we've got to do that, people can, or organizations can apply for sponsorship for specific events, then those would be two of my primary things, along with we have to address the building upkeep by groups. And I know this because I'm a regular user, and there is an enormous difference in how these groups, all of which are valuable to our community and offer something, you know, things that are wonderful, but there's an enormous variation in how these groups clean up. And that cuts into our staff time. And I've seen it. It is a huge issue in the kitchen because the kitchen takes so much longer to clean than anything else. But it's an issue. Our chairs are getting worn down from groups that leave them stacked. I know this because I'm in here almost every day for some different group.
But that's what some of this cleaning deposit stuff is. And
but so when we approve that, I believe there needs to be a deposit put down by groups.
Yeah.
And we do not have any current deposits. Everybody's renting they pay after they use the facility. If they don't clean, there's no real way for us to, I don't,
mm-hmm. Al,
correct
there,
me if I'm wrong,
there
Al.
Is, right?
There is, in the current format, there are deposits and stuff in there. They just have not been implemented in the past.
So that, I feel strongly about, needs to be part of whatever we pass. The staff is not having to constantly sweep again.
But that's on here. That stuff is on here, right?
Right.
Right, but everything on here has been in question. So I'm talking
okay,
about...
Okay, but yeah. I mean, it's on here. Okay.
So those are the things that I think are the most critical, that we've got to standardize the rate, and we do need to have an avenue for exceptions to be made.
If I can make a suggestion, or an observation, whichever way you want to put it, what you're talking about for the timeline on the variance, I think it's on there already in the last couple of sentences where it talks about short-term requests is a single date, and for single dates or multiple dates that are consecutive, that's a timeline. Long-term requests is for multiple dates that may term within a year. In other words, if you had a monthly meeting every year, that would need to be renewed, which we kind of do now anyway.
So I guess what I'm talking about more would be the one-time event.
Well, that would be a single date.
Right, but there's not a space on this form, I don't think, that says deadline for submitting this form is a month before your event or something along those lines.
Well, we didn't have that.
That was all I was saying, was adding something about to make sure that we're going to actually have a regular board meeting where it can be considered.
Well, it does say that it would be considered by the board of directors. Is this the right way to me? Service district board of directors will discuss and act upon your request at their next regular board meeting.
Could we then maybe instead add in parentheses after that, which is the first Tuesday of every month?
Sure.
I just don't want to assume that everybody's going to know that.
Sure.
And so that we don't have situations where they could have this big...
And then my other thought is I'm confused, okay, through this discussion, because we're toggling back and forth between the 56 and the proposal. You know, if you're liking the format of the proposed, which goes down the line of what you've been mentioning, Michelle, about accountability. This particular form, you change that $16 an hour to whatever you want to change it to. If you like this format, you can add or take out anything you want. You know, or you can regress back to the 56 format. And then I'm going to need some real clarity on that, because the 56 format is not just $13.50. There's 17 or a 20, there's a 25. There's all sorts of numbers with all sorts of different criteria. You know, if the same word.
I don't think anyone's advocating that.
Can't we just keep it? Just
no, no, the format. No one's advocating that. Okay.
No one's for the things that we have discussed. So things like the chair rental that's never been enforced and all sorts of other things I'm sure that are on there are not part of what Chuck was.
This format is fine.
The format's great.
Okay.
This format's not proposed. It's been adopted, right?
That's right. Well, no, the format, the facility agreement, only the rate.
The rate for the building.
The agreement documents haven't been adopted.
Just the hourly rate.
Just the hourly rate.
It's gone, not the additional cafeteria charges.
So the rental fee was adopted, but not
That's right.
And what I'm saying, Al, is to use this form, change the hourly rates, knock off the canopy thing, and then keep the rest of it the same. Would be my, because I still think you need the kitchen, you know, cost, the cleaning, the deposits, that type of stuff that the county never really required. Oh, well, they required it, they just never got it.
If I may make a suggestion, if that's in the form of a motion, could there be some, maybe a line-by-line clarity as
yes.
to what...
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So I just want to confirm. So it seems like the per hour vendor fee was, I think the genesis of the idea behind that was that an organization that is hosting something like Wildfire Awareness Day or an event where you have informational booths where nobody's making any money, that is the hourly rate for the parking lot. And that if it is an event where there are vendors and money's being made, then that should be a different charge to those organizations. So
No, that's not what Chuck's saying.
He's saying he wants it flat.
An hourly rate. If you want the parking
no
lot,
if they're making money
if it's
not.
Mountaineer right. Days, no.
Okay.
If it's Mountaineer okay. Days and they want to reserve the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
you pay the $13.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
For that time period, for the 2 days or whatever that you're using it,
mm-hmm.
and that's your charge. It's the same thing of you rent this building for your $13.50 an hour. I don't think it's right. You rent the building. You don't need to be charging 75 cents for the chairs.
But our costs do go up.
Know.
I will point out that our costs actually do go up when you have a bunch of vendors here and there's a bunch more people here, the costs do go up. Okay, the bathrooms are used more. There's more maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
There's real costs that do take place.
Correct.
But is that actually something that doesn't occur at an event like Mountaineer Days? Because we still have booths. They're not vendors in the sense that they're selling anything, but they're...
No, they have the food court out there as an example. That's what they use on Mountaineer Days is that whole parking lot food court.
And they are, and there's,
they are
there's
selling stuff, and they're
okay.
making it.
Okay.
And there's just a lot more people, and there's a lot more cost. But I'm sorry, Alex, I didn't mean to keep you standing there so long.
I just have something to say about the variance. I think the variance should be limited to one-time events, and people who are using repeatedly, monthly, weekly, should not be allowed to do a variance. But for my organization, like breast cancer, we might want to rent it, for example, for a Halloween party one time a year. Yes, we would ask for a variance because we're trying to raise money. So I think you need to have some kind of variance application, not for your regular users, but for these one-time events that occur that are trying to raise money for their specific thing that isn't using it on a regular basis. That was the sole reason.
Okay. What about
an organization that uses it regularly but wants to hold a one-time event like that?
Then the potentially it's a fundraising event,
for that
organization, and it's not a regular event, I think they should have a variance that you can then agree to support that cause.
Okay.
If I would like you to support my cause.
Yeah. And this is something that, you know, that we can look at the end of the year, you know, come January of next year, based on are we getting enough for the maintenance? Are we covering those costs? Because right now, you know, we got 2 months left. And you and I both know, we don't know what our reserve's going to be at the end of this year. There's too many questions that we still have to negotiate or find out what reality is. But right now, what I know from the actuals is that we've collected, you know, over 12,000. We're going to be right at around 15. Is 15 the magic number that covers it, or could it be 20,000? Could it be 10,000? That's stuff that we're going to find out. What I'm saying is that by standardizing the rate for everybody and keeping it at the lower level so that you're not increasing, as an example, the Quilt Guild and that type of thing, that, you know, we should be in a better shape to do it.
Okay.
In covering, and then I'll know more at the end of the year.
Look, let's go through this and figure out if we like this.
I got a question. Steve,
okay.
If we keep our rates where they have been, if that's what we approve tonight, is there any restriction for when this can be revisited?
No.
So we can revisit this at any point. If during the year, if halfway through the year, the actual show that we got a problem,
we're in trouble,
then we can revisit the need for facility rental increase.
Okay. And we can keep the organizations informed based on our monthly meetings and showing what the expenses are and what we're doing. If it's something that they know it's coming down the line, that, hey, we might have to raise those rates up to 16.
Let's just go through this line by line, okay? So community building, Monday through, is $16 for a resident, $20 for non-resident. We want to make that $13.50?
$13.50.
Okay.
Is for resident or non-resident? For both?
For resident, $13.50. Non-resident, you know, I'm not invested one way or another.
So, all right. So leave that 20, okay? Leave that 20. All right?
What about weekend holiday?
Next one down, resident, $20 for a weekend or holiday. That's more in demand. I can kind of see that. Do you want to do something different there or what? What was it before, Al?
It was all the same.
I think it was like 17 or something. Wasn't it a weird rate?
It depended on if it was a non-profit, if they were making money.
Oh, okay. It was all weird.
I mean, there was
there's a lot of variables.
Okay.
You need to standardize.
Okay. All right. So it's going to be $13.50 for the top one. So this next one down here, weekend and holiday, what do we want to make that, Chuck?
That's what I'm looking.
This is your idea.
I know.
Now, while Director Franklin's looking, you can't just willy-nilly increase it.
Yeah.
These are numbers that staff has come up with based upon their analysis that creates a nexus with the cost incurred. So I think it's appropriate for the board to make a determination that you want to reduce these numbers. Certainly would not suggest that you can pick a number out of the air to increase it.
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone suggests that.
So, Al, in the past, so this past year, there has been no difference in the rent for somebody on Saturday, not what it's supposed to be, but what it has actually been.
Yeah, I don't think
any difference between the week and the weekend.
You can't go by that because every single thing was a one-off. Every single thing.
Right.
Like, there was no two alike.
Weekend.
No, there
17.
Were, because the co-op had the same rate as some of the other
example.
Organizations.
I'll give you an example. On the car show last year, the Methodist Church rented this building for a pancake breakfast that was a fundraiser. They were charged, I'm going to use a round number, around $260, I believe, in total.
for the use of the kitchen, for the use of the building, that kind of thing. The Chamber of Commerce used the building as well. They also used the parking lot and the Vivian Noel stage, and they paid about $160.
Okay.
The rates were different depending on the organization.
Was anybody paying more than $13.50 an hour?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, there were some that were paying. What? There was, wasn't there somebody paying 35, or they were paying some crazy rate?
I don't know.
Do you still have that spreadsheet?
Which?
If you want the show, probably can give you the first rate structure, the 56 rate structure.
Well, no, what I meant was the spreadsheet that when you laid out how much the rental increase was going to affect everybody, that showed what people had paid.
Yeah.
This one?
Yes, I see that one. I think that's it.
A lot of them, yeah.
Okay, so in current rate on this page, most everybody's at $13.50.
Yes.
So did I read this incorrectly?
Yeah, but there's discounts on when you got their bill. Like, for example, Lions Club on Bingo Night got 70% discount on that.
Right, but I'm not talking about the discounts here.
Okay.
I'm talking about whether the weekend
rate
needs to be higher. And
yeah, but I mean,
the whole preface of this conversation.
But what does it matter what the rate is if you give an arbitrary discount all the time? That's not the real rate.
Well, because Chuck based this, the math he based this on, said that what we have charged currently is bringing in the actual amount.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm basing.
Okay.
You know, my inquiries here on.
Okay.
So I need to know what has actually been paid. And on this page, the only thing that's any higher than $13.50 was the AC-100, and they're not
right.
A resident anyway.
Right.
So it looks to me like $13.50 an hour is the most that was charged.
Okay. So do you want? Is your point that weekend and holiday should be $13.50 an hour?
I'm trying to find out if there is a due cause to have it be higher on the weekend based on what Steve was saying. It needs
it's a more desirable day. That'd be the reason.
Yeah, I would say 17, which is basically less the $3 less than what we were wanted to increase the rate.
Right.
It's basically bringing it down to a level that the community has been used to. Take out the discounts, that type of stuff, but that was
okay.
When
so let's
were
make
quoted.
Let's make it 17. We got several lines to go here.
Okay.
All right, 17.
We will get
someone
to
at the mic.
Let us go through this.
Yeah. So it's a non-resident still going to be 25.
Yeah.
Okay. Old firehouse was $13.50. It's 13 now. You want to leave it at 13?
I think the old firehouse should be less than this building.
Yeah.
So to me, it's crazy that they would both be $13.50.
Yeah, I thought it was 10, but that's, you know, you certainly can't have as many people in that place.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm sorry, you have a quick comment?
I have a quick question, just for clarity, because you're talking about standard rate. I'm part of an organization that is nonprofit. We've been renting this building for at least 6 years. And we're homeschool groups, and so we
right.
teach here. So are you suggesting that those of us who volunteer as parents to teach here should be paying the same rate like the farmers market? Because it's
yes.
like, so you're suggesting
we're
that
we're standardizing
yes.
unless you
same
get
rate.
So you're not, because the category that I'm looking at right now, and I get the whole nobody wants to nickel and dime the 75 cents a chair thing, but as a nonprofit, like the categories that I'm seeing right now.
But they're all nonprofits.
You think every single person that uses our building is nonprofit?
Just about, no. just about all, yes.
So it's not based on the activity that's held here, like bingo that raises. I don't play bingo, but I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you're saying that they should, okay? Because I totally disagree. As a resident, somebody who uses it, I feel like that's silly because you are moving us out of here, or asking us to then charge people. Like I said, I'm part of Snowline Players. I'm part of this homeschool group. And now I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're saying standardized, so now we have to pay the exact same rate that someone who's going to make profit is going to pay.
But they're
right,
yeah,
that's what
but,
I'm looking at
so
now, not even realizing.
So what we're talking about is you not paying any more. Those other groups raising up to what you've been paying
okay.
all along.
When you said standardized, it made it sound like they were all going to pay the exact same rate.
That's right.
They're going to go hourly
yes.
rate. They're going to go hourly rather than a flat rate.
That, yeah, it's they're going to pay the same hourly rate.
Because it was different
yeah.
for
yeah.
some people were paying a flat rate that was very
okay,
discounted.
That's what I was wondering if it was going to stay because that doesn't make
so
sense.
So there's no adverse effect for SBA or, yeah, you guys stay the same. Other groups that have been getting a massive break compared to what you paid all along
right.
would
that's
now
right.
pay
Thank
what
you.
Everybody else is paying.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, so the old firehouse, we leave it at 13, please?
We can. I need clarification on this one thing before you move on.
Can you come to the mic, please?
Yeah. Here you go. I just wanted to know for weekend and holiday, if access to building is required, why else would you rent it if it's not required? I don't understand the notation.
I guess I don't understand that.
If access to building is required on weekend or holiday,
what does that mean?
When would it not be required?
If you're renting it.
That would be if an organization does not already have their own key code.
Oh.
Ah.
And if we have to come in and open and close the building for a particular event or organization.
Okay.
Because that's employee
mm-hmm.
time.
Right.
And money.
And weekend and holiday, if you don't need that, is what price?
We're going over that right now.
That's down further?
No.
No, we're just.
She's making a point that it's not on here. That's
oh,
why
I see.
It's not on here.
Oh,
this
I
is
see.
Saying, so what about, like, CERT uses it on the weekend and they have their own key. What's their rate?
That would be the first line of
that.
Okay,
so the old firehouse, we're leaving at 13, right?
Okay.
Non-resident, 15.
Right.
Okay, parking lot. Instead of 16, it's going to be $13.50
and
no per vendor rate. Is that right?
No canopy.
Okay. Okay. Vivian Knoll, that's...
May I ask a question?
Yes.
I think that
on the parking lot.
Yes.
The non-resident would be 20 plus the vendor rate or no?
I'm sorry, say that
sorry,
again.
Yeah.
Say that again.
I was just... told that on the parking lot,
yes,
it'd be $13.50 without the vendor rate.
That's right.
On the non-resident, are you omitting the vendor
yes.
rate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Want to be clear.
Yes. Thank you.
So you're removing the vendor rate for both.
We're removing the vendor rate completely. It was a terrible idea. Okay. All right, so the Vivian Knoll states the stage, $10. Okay? $10? We're leaving that the same. Non-resident, $12.
Okay.
Question?
Well, I have a bit of a concern about the parking lot. I think that...
About the Vivian Knoll?
No, the parking lot.
Oh, okay, we're going back up a couple of
years.
Okay.
So... If our weekend rate for the building is 17, use of that parking lot prohibits use of this building.
Not necessarily.
No. You got to remember, the weekend rate for the building and holiday rate at 17 is if one of us has to come in and open and close.
So
the other, otherwise, it's at the $13.50. So let's just say the Lions Club has a weekend event, whatever that would be, okay? That rate would be $13.50. But let's just say there's an XYZ organization that comes in that wants to use the building and they don't have access to the building already, then whenever Michelle or myself or Mark would have to come in, open the building, do the alarm for them, close the building, do the alarm for them, that's where the 17 places.
Mm-hmm. So what's the frequency of those two different groups? Like, is it mostly people that you come and unlock for or mostly people that you don't?
I'm going to say on the weekend, it's probably about 50-50. What's your thing?
No. Maybe twice a month for people that we have to come in for.
Okay. Well,
so most of it's coming from groups that are paying $13.50.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Now we're down to the kitchen.
Yep, we're down to the kitchen. So...
fine on that.
Resident $25, non-resident $30. This is for storage and fridge, and this is just a flat rate per event, right?
Right.
And it's not per hour.
No.
Right.
So Al, are we going to break even with the kitchen because the kitchen rentals have gone down, but now it would actually be enforced?
Correct. We'll go up.
So it'll, we'll break even, we'll go up. Where do you think we might end up with that, with the kitchen?
The purpose of the proposed rates was basically a break even.
Okay.
The current rate on the kitchen, I believe, is 50 for the first 2 hours and 150 for
anything beyond 2 hours.
But we broke that down because a lot of people who use the kitchen don't use the stove and that type of thing. They only use the refrigerator, or they use the refrigerator in the sinks. And so to do that, our proposal is a 25 and the 30, because that's what it worked out to be. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they're then it's 2 hours or 10?
Right.
Okay.
And then if they, and hopefully that stimulates more kitchen people. And then if they do use the full service of the kitchen, the stove and whatever, it's 50 and 75.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and so 50 and 75, that's okay. PA system, 15 and 25, right? Security, clean deposit. So we've got standard facility use, 150. So, you know, we're going to enforce that. You gotta have that. And then special events, $500.
Why is that so much more on the special events?
Because it's a lot of people, a lot of stuff going on, and if
and this is just security. If they clean and it's in good shape when they leave,
then it's no problem. Yeah. Then it's no problem, right? Okay. Then it's no problem.
Based on the history,
but I mean, there's
right.
Some people that took that for granted.
Work.
Yeah.
It had to be done.
Yeah. Okay. Do we like that or what?
That's fine with me.
You got everything written down?
We got a comment over here.
Okay, Josh.
So is that a motion that's now been seconded and waiting to be voted on at this point?
No, it hasn't been.
Okay,
it hasn't
so
been.
A pre-motion. Okay, but it sounds like we're leaning towards the motion. So
yeah.
The things that I would like to add are that I think what we've come up with here is going to meet a lot of those needs, but I do think that the variance is a necessary component to continue being there, and although I understand where Alex is coming from, with her previous public comment.
I think we do have the variance, though, right? We have the variance document.
On the table right now, so no. I'm just going to say my thoughts on the variance, and then, is that all right?
Yes.
My belief on the variance is that it should, as our legal counsel was explaining, be focused on the community benefit, that there is an actual value associated with, say, the Snowline Players bringing a community theater to the neighborhood, that there is an actual value of bringing food through the farmer's market. And although it had been haphazard in the past, what's changing now is each of those variances would go before this group. The public would have a chance to say, yes, we support a variance for that, or no, we don't think Bingo should get a variance because they're making money. That is the difference, is that now that's brought into the public.
Farmer's market does make money, by the way, just so you know.
I'm not arguing that it doesn't.
Okay.
I'm just arguing about the opportunity for the public to weigh in on a variance.
Okay.
The final thing is that all of these fees need to be a nexus based on the price. And I understand that, like, maybe the old firehouse seems like it should be a different price. But where I come down is I'm not entirely sure how the cost to run a building and the cost to maintain the parking lot ends up being the same hourly rate. It seems like the parking lot's cheaper to maintain. The wear and tear on a parking lot is less. Each of these things makes the parking lot's nexus of cost associated less than the cost involved.
We're forgetting about the bathrooms, though.
The parking lot prohibits use of this building in the sense that the Snowland Players have not been able to hold a Friday night event here in 5 years because the farmers market's here. I'm deeply involved with the Snowline Players. And we have to plan all our events around it, so there's no opportunity for the facility. The whole thing has to be maintained. When they're in the parking lot, they're still using the steps and gathering around the building.
So why can the building not be rented out when the parking lot?
There's nowhere for anyone to park.
I live in San Francisco. There's plenty of buildings with no parking anywhere. There is quite a bit of community parking within the neighboring block. So I think that although there may be some organizations such as the Play that don't want to rent it out while there's a conflict with the parking lot, I do think it is possible to rent out buildings without parking lots, and some organizations may be willing to do that.
It's more difficult,
okay.
However.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So All right. Can I have a motion to accept these new rates that we just went over?
Yes, I will give you the motion as long as it includes the variance portion of that.
Mm-hmm. Do we have the variance, or do we have that language for that and all that? We already have that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Along with the variance.
Right.
Okay. So I have a motion to accept the new pricing structure along with the variance.
Steve Reinick with the Mountaineer Partners. I'm just not sure about the 75 cents for the chairs. Is that out?
No, that's out. That's out.
That's the charge. You're coming to the meeting.
What I'm talking about
just
is
your chairs.
Is just this.
For every change.
The changes we've made off of this format.
Yeah, the changes of the hours, the changes in the prices we made on this format, along with the variance.
Any seconds?
There's no seconds?
Well, I'm just trying to run through things in my mind here.
Okay. All right. I mean, if we don't want to do this, we can just keep the same asymmetrical pricing scheme that we've had for the last 10 years.
Well, no, we have to, because we have a motion that we did for the increase in the rates that's on the books. This is
so the motion, that. There's no second, the motion dies, and then the current.
Yeah, okay.
And the rates are $16 and whatever, yeah.
Okay, all right. We'll just have arbitrary rates, I guess.
No, give us a.
Okay.
The motion is
there. All
right,
we can have discussion after, right?
Yes.
I don't. What good is that?
Yes.
I'm gonna second the motion, and Natalie, I'd like to hear you weigh in on this. Where are you at this point? You started off, it sounded like an agreement with Chuck, but the.
I mean, I do agree with Chuck, but I don't think that I'm gonna get accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. Really, I don't know that I had something set that I want to accomplish. I was just more advocating for not pushing people out of here, and I don't.
Well, you do have the variance, though.
You still have the variance.
Yes, so I am very happy with the variance. I think that.
You feel like this supports it better than what we currently have in place?
Yeah.
What we currently have in place being the $16, because that's already been approved.
Yes, then
so
I will.
If we do nothing, that's what we end up at, right? Not the way it used to be.
Okay, then I support it. So I will second that motion.
Well,
I
second it, so I can have
the discussion. Okay.
All right. So Director Michelle Schneider, second the motion.
Yeah, I already did that.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion carries.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Okay, now that was all five pages of this, yes? That was the whole facility use agreement. So you guys are now going to contact each of these organizations to sign this agreement, and rent prices will remain the same for some organizations and will alter for others. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Item 10, website update. So we have I believe that the website just got, I won't say finished, it's all developed, and it's ready for us to put our content in. You should have gotten a password and all that stuff, Al. And you're in. You did. You just weren't looking.
Well, if it happened after 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, it's all ready for us to load content in. So the way it works is we would load the content in, just pictures, text, whatever we want for each section, okay? Mm-hmm. And then should it need to be formatted in some special way or make it look a little bit better, Scott would do that. It only takes him a minute to do that, mm-hmm. Okay? We have the new logo with the that Chuck even liked. With the trees and snow.
We got snow and trees on the logo.
Yeah. And that's where we're at with that. So I would say that it should be fully up and operational with all the content by next meeting. Okay?
What's the possible action on this?
Nothing.
Okay.
Thank you for all your work on that.
Yeah, no problem.
And can Natalie or Wes, why don't you send me the link?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, item 11, Board District Strategy Workshop, discussion of possible action. I don't know what this is. Is that another special meeting that you're proposing?
Well, check. This is something that you proposed.
Okay.
If you remember at the last board meeting,
right,
we had this on, along with a board budget workshop. Board budget workshop.
Right.
Okay, the only discussion was about the board budget workshop, and not about this, but about this back in case you wanted to be addressing. It's basically a meeting that would allow the board to develop a strategy for the future of the district, create a mission statement, a vision statement, or at least start the process of, start looking at capital improvement projects so that we can start planning ahead, how to fund these things, and that type of stuff. And basically, you know, project timelines and so on and so forth. So it's up to the board if they want to do that or not. That was something that was suggested earlier.
Is that something that could potentially include discussions around, like, what Nancy brought forth tonight?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good.
I think that would be great to have an actual, like, vision dreaming meeting, because these are not that.
Mm-hmm.
So. I think that would be a wise idea. What time, what are the rest of you all?
No, I agree. I think it's necessary. I think brainstorming would be a great idea.
What's the timeline work?
That's kind of up to you guys.
Whatever everybody can get together.
You can do it in the month of May or the month of June or whatever you like. Yeah, if you pick a date, we just need to verify on the calendar.
I can pretty much make myself available whenever.
As long as it's at 6 or later, I can make any day. Pretty much.
Yeah, I would like to do 6 o'clock like we did the budget meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
That was.
Okay. When's our next open date?
I think Michelle's getting a calendar.
Okay.
What do our Tuesday nights look like, Michelle, for this month?
The 8th is full, and the 5th, the rest of the week is...
rest of the month?
Yeah, the rest of the month. The 15th, 22nd, and the 29th, the evenings are free.
Are free.
15th? I was going to maybe recommend the 22nd so we could give people some time to come up with some things, maybe get some more material as speaking to what Nancy was talking about.
Are there end of the school year things that would keep people from attending then? That was the only thing I was thinking.
I don't have anything on the calendar for school on the 22nd.
Or Wrightwood or anything?
The following week is the last week of school on the 22nd.
Gotcha. Okay. 22nd works for me?
All right. 22nd?
At 6 p.m.?
Yes, please, if that's
yes,
okay.
Please.
Okay. All right, item 12, Memorandum of Understanding with the Wrightwood Fire Safe Council in support of the Green Waste Pine Needle Cleanup Discussion and Possible Action. So this is, proposal is that the CSD pay the Fire Safe Council $10 a ton for any of the pine needles that they pick up. And this makes a lot of sense for the CSD because at $10 a ton, that's, you know, half a cent a pound. Right now we pay 3 cents a pound if it goes in the dump. So it saves the CSD a bunch of money, helps the community because we can get the pine needles. You know, it's very convenient for everybody to get the pine needles right over there. And these guys know what they're doing. They run a great program. I think last year they collected 213 tons, I believe.
207.
Is that right, John? 207? 207 tons. But you might say, well, but they're already doing that. But the idea was to add on more dates And so the Fire Safe Council added on another date, September 8th, 7th and 8th. And I would say if that's successful, they might, I might convince Sean to add on even more. Because that just is gonna, that's just gonna help the town out tremendously, and it helps the CSD out too. So that's the idea.
I think it's great. I support it.
Yeah, I think it's a
great idea.
Good program.
Yeah, these guys have done a great job for years.
And is it $52 or $56 a ton normally?
It's $59.94.
$59, so saving a lot.
Saving a lot.
Spending $50 a ton.
Very good.
Right. So, well, it's important to understand that they were doing it anyway.
Yeah.
But since they're adding on the second day, that's when we really save.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it for both, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We are.
Great.
And it gives them money that they can maybe add on even more of these programs.
That's great.
Okay. So, I think I need a motion on this, right, Steve? Yeah.
I move we adopt the memorandum of understanding.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion carries. Item 13, director's comments. Anybody got any comments?
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the status of where we are in the adult sports league. Monica and I have met with the principal at Wrightwood Elementary, John Gardner, and Gabe Beadle from Wrightwood Little League to discuss the timeline of starting the league. And we are going to go for an opening day on June 10th, and we'll be holding 8 regular games and then like an end-of-the-season game, a finals game. So starting June 10th, the following weekend is Father's Day, so we won't be playing that weekend, and then we'll go from there up until August. Wes created a an email address called adultsports@wrightwoodcsd.org, where we're asking community members to form teams and register on that email address. And so we have these flyers posted on social media, online, and throughout town, so we're hoping for a good turnout on that. And I also wanted to say that I went to a AYSO board meeting after last month's board meeting to talk to them about the Adult Soccer League. And I found out that they are themselves having an adult soccer league starting this fall. So I've decided that we're not going to go forward with our adult sports league. I shouldn't say I decided, but I thought it would make sense that we don't move forward with adult soccer in the fall because they're already going to be doing it. So I think maybe we should revisit adult soccer in the winter time because AYSO does just fall. So it could be an opportunity for us to do winter or spring, summer next year. So that's kind of where we're at on that. Does anyone have any questions?
Thanks for your work in that.
Yeah, and thank Monica. She's put in a ton of work. So.
Definitely. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Oh, I'm
Nancy.
What is American Youth Soccer? And so they do primarily a children's league that represents the tri-community, but they are going to be doing adult soccer as well this and try it out. So, yeah.
Any other comments?
I've said enough.
Me too.
All right. 14, future board meetings. When's that going to be?
Well, next board meeting would be June 5th, I believe.
I am going to be gone for that meeting.
June 5th, okay. All right.
Yeah. First, are there particular agenda items that you wish to have on that?
We'll have a public hearing.
You'll have the for the budget.
The budget public hearing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Do we need any action on the website if we're looking at that month?
What action is there going to be to take, period, on the website? Haven't we already taken the action to decide to have it made? And
yeah.
I think it's just website updates from this.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. It says possible action, and there just isn't ever any.
Yeah, I was like, what's even possible?
Yeah.
So the budget is going to be the primary focus. What
yeah.
else? I'm trying to think of other things that have been brought forward by people if there's anything we haven't addressed.
I think I've heard from several people. There was a message into the CSD Facebook, and also someone had come and talked about it at one of our previous board meetings about issues with the post office and potentially looking at ways to fix the problem, help out. I know that there are certain communities where they get the Amazon wall or box. It's like an automatic pickup. I don't know. I just thought it would be a good idea.
Isn't that way out of our...
Probably. But I wanted to kind of do some... Well, I just wanted to do some research and see if it's a way that's something that could benefit our community, because the post office is a huge problem for a lot of people.
I think it's way from the CSD.
What they told me at the post office was that we all need to contact our local counselor, Paul Cook.
Yeah.
Because that is our avenue, because of the issue that Laura spoke about at the last meeting with the... the county, the person who's in charge of, the guy who's in charge here, the whatever history has occurred between them, that we basically need to go above his head to Paul Cook.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there is anything that we, as you know, an organization, that conversation.
I heard of that Amazon wall. Like, you just have to put it in your parking lot. They don't pay you or anything. They just. I mean, no one wants to do that.
Well, if I may, the issue is not on the agenda for now, is not to decide the merits of the issues.
No, that's way far away from the CSD. Okay.
If I can make a suggestion, when you have your strategy meeting, there's probably going to be items that you want to have brought up.
That's true.
Okay. So results of the strategy meeting or report from the strategy meeting should be on the agenda then?
There's probably recent strategy items that you want to have, want to start having them move forward.
Okay.
Also, I probably have a few items in my back pocket that might work too.
Okay.
Do we have any timetable that we could put on the agenda for the repairs that we know need to be made here?
What's the timetable for that?
Well, first we have to approve a budget, so I can at least put that in some sort of a budget. Then I'm going to have to put an RFP out, because that's kind of a significant item. So we're probably looking at a few months.
Okay.
How about the outdoor, motion detector lighting? Is there any timeline for that?
No, there's no. I mean, it's the same thing. It's got to approve the budget, make sure it's in the budget, and then he's got to get an RFP, get it out, three bids.
Actually, we'll probably be able to do the outside lighting, motion detector ourselves, but I'd have to look at that.
Okay.
And that's stuff that should come up in the strategy too.
Okay. All right.
15 communications. I don't know what that one's about.
But all these items attached to it.
That's Lasso's letter and Pico and Wadab and the letter from Lasso.
After we told you the Pico as well.
Oh, the sphere of influence.
Anyway, basically.
This is the one they deferred.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Okay.
Obviously, we have a fire about the spot value. Wildfire awareness thing.
Yeah.
The green waste.
Yeah. Yeah, green waste.
And
a German. Okay, adjourned.
Towards the German.
Would it be possible to... Oh.
Go ahead.
Would it be possible to put communications right after public comments in the future on the agenda? This just seems like something that would be nice for to have
Thank
right
you.
In the beginning.
It's really not. I'm for the board to take the action.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I would
all
prefer
right.
Prefer not to comment.
Okay.
For me.
Take your gavel
okay. All right. Meeting's
Thank
adjourned.
You.
Thank you.